Welcome back, Patriot Pals, to the Mel Kay Show. I am very honored. I got to meet the man today that is on my show in Chicago not that long ago. He is a fearless warrior for the Constitution, for law and order, for God and country, and he is putting his hat in the ring to try to save Illinois and actually be a leader in saving our country and bringing back law and order in the Constitution. He is running for AG of Illinois. I am excited to welcome David Shistokas to the show. Thank you for joining me, sir.
Terrific. Thank you, Mel. It's so great to be here with you. And it's nice to be on Zoom, but it was a little better when we were in person on the panel together.
I know, but it was, sometimes you go to these events. I went up there to support Bobby Payton, who's a good friend of mine. And then to meet you and to meet some of the other people, the guy running for sheriff, it gives you hope. You know, that's what it does. It gives you hope because you don't know. You never know when you're going to a smaller event in a state. And then you get there and you realize people love God and country. There are people fighting for us that are still out there that nobody's paying attention, because I'm very worried about your state. Everyone in the country looks at Chicago in horror. I live in New York City. It's bad, but where you are is one step worse, because your governor, your mayor, your everyone, they all seem to be on the globalist side and they are not protecting the people of Illinois, let alone of the cities. So tell me a little bit about yourself and why you are running to try to save Illinois, but also to be a leader in this country in restoring law and order.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited at this prospect, Mel. It's great to be with you and your audience. I am an attorney. I've been that for about 35 years or so. But frankly, I've also the thing that I did before I was a lawyer, I delivered my first case of beer when I was 5 years old, you know, so I was a beer. I'm longer an attorney than I was a beer guy. So I still have this beer guy mentality. You know, we think about the 85 Bears, and when they talk about Chicago, they talk about the Grabowskis. I'm Lithuanian. I'm not Polish, but we grew up like being Grabowskis. So we're pretty excited about that. I was a former state's attorney in Cook County back when we actually put people in jail. Back when they actually, if they committed crimes, we actually enforce the law in those days. And that's what we're hoping to do again, because of course that's a terrible situation. I think more often than not start talking about the office of attorney general rather than myself, because so few people really understand what state attorney generals are supposed to do. Because when they hear the term attorney general, they think of the United States attorney general. That's the guy that's in the news. That's the person they read about. But that's the individual who is, in fact, appointed by, serves at the pleasure of the president,
right,
and ultimately executes the policies of the president. They say they don't, but if, as a practical matter, the president could fire the attorney general. Right. And so he has one of two choices if he disagrees with the president. He can either resign or he can execute the president's policies. Elected state attorney generals are completely different animals, even though they have the same title. They are independent of the governor, and in fact are a check, should be, they're designed to be a check on government overreach. They're not designed to be the wingman for the governor or the government or the Department of Public Health, the Board of Education, the Board of Elections, the alphabet soup of agencies.
Right.
And that's what we've had here for a long time, an attorney general who's the wingman for the governor, and has in fact back in, we'll go to April of 2020, Pritzker here in Illinois issued his first of the executive orders, or excuse me, March, first of the executive disaster declarations. And the Illinois Emergency Management Act said he's got 30 days to exercise such authority. And if he, within that 30 days, he needs to go to the legislature and have them participate in how to manage the crisis. The current attorney general issued an attorney general opinion that said, oh no, you can do it in 30 days. And then 30 days and then 30 days. And he made the provision in the statute a nullity, right? He made the statute meaningless.
Right.
And this is the problem. If we would have had a proper attorney general, and I would suggest that many of the states around the country that have elected attorney generals and their attorneys general, and there's 43 of them, that same situation would apply. That if they had stood up to these rogue governors and told the governor, no, your authority, he's done, rather than go and defend them in court, much of what this country suffered through would have been done almost 2 years ago.
Right. A lot of it. And people don't know. People don't realize that, A, not only are you're elected by the people of your state. We are a constitutional republic. Every state has the ability to run on its own without the interference of the federal government in many ways. So to me, the attorney general and the sheriff, the two elected positions that actually can take back law and order and fight for the people, are those two positions. And too many people don't realize how important those two positions are. Now, let me ask you, I've watched what's going on in this country. I've gone to six states to support candidates and speak about the Constitution and Bill of Rights and all of that. What I have found is that in many states, and mine, and I'm guessing yours as well, there seems to be a uniparty. I think a lot of people don't understand that we have been deceived, at least in the last probably 10, 15, 20 years, to think that, you know, you're Republican and you're Democrat and this is that. But the more I'm seeing good people like you step up and say, I have solutions, I can do this, I'm not afraid to do what's right for the people and this country, and you go with all the good intentions, it appears that the Republican side that is entrenched, the swamp side, and the DNC side are equally uninterested in having anyone new that has new, fresh ideas and might open the books. Are you finding that the that both sides are kind of like, we don't want anyone new here because the status quo works better for us, not the people?
I compare how that operates to worldwide wrestling. They go out and they yell and scream at each other in front of the cameras, and they have dueling right. press conferences, and then they go back and divvy up our money. just the way the wrestlers go out and they scream, they holler, I'm going to kill them, I'm going to beat them up, I'm going to throw them, we're going to have this terrible knockdown, drag out battle. And then they go in the back and they have a cocktail and they divvy up our money. That's the same thing with, as you described, the uniparty. That is so prevalent here, and I'm sure it's prevalent elsewhere. That's what Bobby calls it. Many, many years we had a popular columnist in the Chicago Tribune, John Cass, used to call it the combine.
It is.
And it's not new, because we've had a speaker in office for almost 50 years of the Illinois House of Representatives by the name of Michael Madigan. And before our current attorney general, for 12 years, the attorney general was his daughter.
Oh, God.
Was his daughter.
Oh, my God.
So what was she going to do? In terms of what kind of criminal activity he was engaged in. The feds finally indicted him last year on things, but he's been in power for 40 years. 12 of those years, his daughter was the law enforcement officer that could have put him in jail, and of course didn't. So that's an example of what the situation is.
Yeah, and also, you know, another thing is Pritzker, first of all, I don't understand how he, with all of his conflicts of interest, how he was ever governor there as it is. When I look into him and his past, now they're saying that a lot of the PPP money that went to Illinois disappeared. Not surprising. But again, and him and Lightfoot seem to be, you know, walking in lockstep with everything that they've done in the last 2 years. And like you said, the attorney general isn't doing anything. It seems to me, I mean, everyone in the world, basically, if they know anything about America and American politics, knows there's a problem in Chicago. And it's been long, long done. But I feel like the people of Illinois have had it, because like New York, everyone looks at New York City and thinks it's the whole state. I think that's Chicago and the rest of Illinois. They look at everything's happening in Chicago, and it's just it's so out of control. I think the people have had it. I think the people are embarrassed. They want Chicago to be cleaned up. They want the whole state, but there's so much corruption, and it's been years. You actually are willing to do something about it because people are watching Chicago, and the people that are living in those inner cities where there's no cops, or the cops are demoralized and people are being shot, you know, dozens every night, it seems. People have had it in the inner cities. They're done. They know that they've been betrayed by their own people that they keep putting in office.
Yeah, that's accurate. And that's why our main slogan for the campaign is make crime illegal again. And that's quite on. But while it's a slogan, actually, there's a plan to execute that. People don't understand. Or they didn't understand. I've been kind of on an education tour the past year, letting people know what the authority of the attorney general actually is. And when somebody like a Kim Fox, who's the state's attorney in Cook County, declines to prosecute guys or undercharges them and lets them out on bond. You know, there was a couple of times in the early spring of 21 where there was people that were out on bond that actually killed police officers.
Right.
There's horrible, horrible situations. But when the local prosecutors do not prosecute things or decline to prosecute things, the Illinois Attorney General's office has the authority to do so. And we will. The other, you know, the current guy and Lisa before him, they never used that authority. We have the authority to convene statewide grand juries. I'm going this afternoon to an event with Gary Rabine about child trafficking.
Good. It's a real problem in Chicago. People do not know that. It is a real, because we had the case with that R. Kelly. What do you think? He's the only one? I mean, it's a real problem all over the country. But, you know, they're definitely not prosecuting that stuff. They're not prosecuting anything. And, you know, everyone watched what happened with Kim Fox. But I believe, because in New York City, we have no bail. OK, people have been arrested 7, 8, 12 times. Then they push somebody on the subway. People find out they've been in jail 12 times, 15 times, in and out. I think that's about to happen in Illinois. Aren't you guys about to?
They're going to no cash bail. And I've been talking about the subway shooting in New York that happened the weekend before Uvalde. The fellow there had been arrested 19 times. He was out on 3 different cases when he shot and killed that guy going to brunch on a Sunday afternoon. It's horrible, horrible situation. And we're supposed to have no cash bail going into effect January 1st. There's a whole lot of other things that are going on with that. But we can. But there are things that we can do about that, and the people understand it. There's a new election coming up before January 1st, and hopefully there'll be some opportunities to change that in the meantime. But I would want to point out, because, of course, it was a voter integrity matter that we were together on, Mel.
Yes.
That we were involved in. And I just would mention briefly that in 2016, I did work with the Trump Rubio campaign in Broward County, Florida. And in Miami, I found about 150,000 illegally opened ballots in Miami.
Right.
And then I was spent 5 weeks in Pennsylvania in 2020. I wound up in court with Mayor Giuliani, testified before the Pennsylvania Senate. And there's something in Illinois called the Illinois Attorney General Act, and among the top 5 duties is to enforce and prosecute election crimes. And that is something that, of course, that is unheard of here. They don't do it. That's why everybody says there's no prosecution. That's just because they don't do it. But there's plenty to go around. And I would point out, your audience is national. I would point out the implications of my election here in Illinois does, in fact, have national implications, because we would enforce the election laws here in Illinois. And by doing so, I truly believe we would put Illinois in play in the 2024
right.
presidential election.
Exactly. It's a real problem there. We have been there, and I've looked at lots of stuff. Also, Bobby Payton, Jovan Pulitzer, these are friends of mine. I've seen what they have. I travel with General Flynn and Mike Lindell. I mean, it's just such a travesty. You brought up Pennsylvania. The Pennsylvania AG, I believe, wanted to look at 2020. And I think the Supreme Court or AG Barr said, no, don't do it. You are absolutely right. We need it before 2022. But I believe that AG, I'm not sure, but I think he wanted to exercise the right to do it and was stopped.
Yeah, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court is the one that really screwed up the election. I was there. And the Pennsylvania Supreme Court was issuing orders like every other day.
Right.
So the election authorities were confused. They had no idea. One day they're saying, don't even look at signatures. They're saying, who cares about whether there's a postmark? It was crazy. And ultimately, that was among the things that I wound up in court about, because I was observing these things in Pittsburgh in Allegheny County. And that's where I wound up doing the work on in Pennsylvania. And so, but there's a million things we can do about that. And among those things actually is to have people that, you know, a lot of folks say, well, what are you going to do as attorney general to take care of these things? And it's really 3 words: enforce the law.
That's the craziest part, is the laws are there. I always say, you know, when you want to take all our guns, start with the felons. You know, start with the people that aren't supposed to have them, not the law-abiding citizens. Because I saw a woman, I'll ask you about this in a second, testify, I believe it was in front of Congress, about the new red flag laws and the new bill that they're putting in to take our guns. And she's saying, listen, they defunded my police. I am my kids' first responders. I'm a single mother. I know how to use a gun. I trust myself. I've done the right thing. I did nothing wrong. You're not taking my gun, or something happens, nobody's going to show up. It's going to be me and a criminal. And they're all, you know, they're all nodding in the thing, you know, and then later they propose all their things. What do you take with the Second Amendment? Because I have a feeling in Chicago, not only are a lot of those guns illegal and they're felons, and I know there's a huge gang problem there, like it is where I live in New York. But on top of that, those people, a lot of them, if they didn't have a gun, they'd be the law abiding citizens. What would they do? It's insane.
It is insanity. And hopefully we're going to do the things that are appropriate. All you really and truly, nobody needs any new laws. All we have to do is enforce the law that exists. And that's what we'll do. If we enforce the law that exists, the governor doesn't have overreach. If we enforce the law that exists, they don't go around trying to declare churches non-essential. If we enforce the law that exists, we don't have felons having guns in their hands.
Right.
If we enforce the law that exists, we lock up the people that have utilized guns in the commission of any other kinds of crime, because those are aggravating factors. It's really not complex. It's just having the will, the desire, and the commitment to do that. And that will do so much to the police officers. You know, I was an assistant state's attorney. I was a prosecutor. I did more than 400 felony cases as a prosecutor. I did more than 10,000 misdemeanors. And just so folks know, I do have two opponents in the primary. Neither of them have ever prosecuted a criminal case in their life.
Get out of here.
No, they have.
This is insane. There has to be standards to even run at this point. That is insane, especially in your state. I mean, you have a lot to do. You got to hit the ground running day one.
Well, we can do that. You know, that's also interesting. I've already got commitments from a former lieutenant colonel of the Illinois State Police to be my chief of investigations. Yeah. I have a 30-year prosecutor that's done more than 200 or 2,000 juries.
I think we met him. That guy's great. He's great. He's excited. I'm excited for you guys. No, I feel like if you know, I believe in God. I believe that this country was founded by inalienable rights that are being tried, that they're trying to take away, that there's a overthrow of America for what it is. You're a big, huge guy when it comes to the Constitution, our history, our Bill of Rights, our founding fathers. You've written books about it. You know, I really do feel that this is way bigger. And I think if every state had an attorney general like you, a strong sheriffs in the counties, and really took back the states first and really made every state as strong and individualized and powerful on its own, we could really rebuild this country and take the swamp out of everything. Now, as far as me, I feel like we're in 1775. Like, I feel like it's so much bigger than a lot of people are getting. It's not about an election. It is about the survival of the greatest country on the planet and our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and our Judeo-Christian values being destroyed by people who would like to destroy the greatest country ever. What's your take? Because you know a lot about history and you're a big, fan of the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and our founding fathers. Do you feel that we are at a crossroads in America?
We're clearly in a similar circumstance at that point in time. One only has to, you know, the Declaration of Independence is a very interesting document, and it reads about the accusations against King George are really a litany of what a government should not do. And that litany, there's about 28 grievances that Jefferson put in the Declaration. I suspect we're in the neighborhood of about 20 of them that have lined up at this juncture. And that is when the government has actually now gave up its legitimacy.
Right.
Because and that's the measure. And you know what, Mel? That's why we don't teach the Declaration of Independence.
Right, exactly.
That's why nobody knows what it's about. Nobody, you know, they have folks that memorize the preamble to the Constitution, but nobody knows we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Governments are instituted among men to secure these rights, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And that's the whole legitimacy of the whole place. And the consent of the governed statement is key, because that brings us back to elections. If we don't have straight elections, we don't have anything.
Right. I keep saying that, too, because a lot of these guys that are installed in D.C., in my opinion, I think we've had these billionaires, trillionaires, this Davos class, this globalist crew. If you look back to Obama and all of his friends and a lot of things that went down during the Obama administration, a lot of the people that are now back in D.C. are people that are not loyal. They're not loyal to the American people, in my opinion. They are loyal to a globalist ideal from a top down, total track and trace surveillance of humanity. And right now, with everything that the Biden regime is doing, their controlled demolition of America, clearly the District of Columbia, vassal state down there, is not running by the Constitution or the consent of the governed. I think that's completely out the window. But what I'm saying is we didn't elect a lot of the people right now that are destroying our country from the inside out. And I say all the time that what you just said, which is this is a government by the people, for the people. They need the consent of the governed. They're not overlords, but I believe that this group right now, the DHS guy, the HHS, all these people that are calling good patriots domestic terrorists and threatening freedom of speech and taking our guns. These people, they seem like King George. They don't have the consent of the governed, and that's why 2020 still matters to me.
Oh, 2020 continues to matter, but at the moment, we're taking the lessons here from 2020. Right. And applying them. Right. I learned a lot in 2020 because I was involved. I was close to a couple of weeks ago. I had the good fortune to spend a little time with Dinesh D'Souza, and I had to sheepishly tell him I had not seen 2,000 Mules. I said, on the other hand,
well, you
I
lived
don't
it.
Have to, because I was there, and Greg and Catherine are friends anyway.
Right.
So I said, I understand. We don't have to, but people should. See that and learn that lesson, because what happened in Virginia with the eyes on every ballot, we're in the midst of employing that here. We've got some great groups, Illinois Freedom Alliance, Annie Partridge. You may have met Annie at the
at the Bobby
event. I'm going to be with Annie on Sunday. They're having a big thing out there, and we are organizing through them as the leadership poll watchers across the state, and I'm issuing credentials to the poll watchers across the state for the June 28 primary to do the eyes on every ballot, which kind of is practice for November. You know, it's kind of getting things together for November. But people are doing things.
Right.
Just
right.
Believe people are doing things. Don't ever anybody
that
says I shouldn't vote because it's a mess. No, you should. You need to vote
and more than ever before. We also only 30% of Americans voted in 2020, and which makes the numbers even more ludicrous. But you have to say, hello, you got to vote now. This is you have to pick a lane. Either you believe in God and country and the greatness of America and want us to thrive. We're a very young country. Or you believe that the globalists and the open society and the idea for the destruction of America to become some kind of Venezuela. There is no in between right now. And that's really, I feel like, where we are. And that's excellent. I'm going to actually put a link to the Declaration of Independence, because people, I feel like we are in the exact place of where they were.
If I might make a selfish promotion suggestion, the link perhaps should be to my book, Creating.
Oh, we're definitely doing that.
The Creating the Declaration of Independence is that book. And it follows Jefferson and Adams and Richard Henry Lee in the month before the Declaration was issued, and the kind of things they went through. And the fact is, one of the more interesting things that nobody realizes is there were a lot of people were afraid to say the word independence, because in fact that was treason, and treason meant your head got cut off.
Right.
And it's not like it was just an empty threat. There's a fellow, Dr. Joseph Warren, who was John Adams' personal physician, who in fact, after Bunker Hill, had his head cut off.
Yeah.
That's in the book too. So they actually knew people who lost their heads.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm watching this series called Turn that it's about that time. And it's based on a book called George Washington's Spies, or Washington Spies. It was a book about all these guys that had to play both sides in order to find out where the King George's army were. I mean, they had no technology. It's amazing. But this was such a violent time in history. And these people were so brave. And I look at the people in America right now that say, what can I do? What can I do? And I think of, oh, my God, these guys were out there like in the middle of the woods in Long Island, like running from each other. You know, I was so violent. The women too. And it's like, what can you do? You can do it. There's so much you can do because of what's been done already for us. I keep saying, look at all America did for us. For whether you're a citizen or you're blessed by God to be born in this country. We owe America to step up and save it. And you're doing that. And that is an amazing thing. Now, I have two questions. First, there seems to be a big problem because you and I agree. If it's not consent by the governed and these aren't the people that we, the people, are electing, they're people that are placed there by bankers or overlords or globalists. What is the deal with the election commissions and the election boards? Because these people seem to have a lot of power and it just seems to me that between the Secretary of State and the election boards, that there's just so much in between. Like, some of these people should be, I believe, prosecuted for some of the crimes that they committed in, not just in 2020. I mean, in general, it seems like a real problem in these, that nobody prosecutes that kind of crime.
It's a true problem. I'm currently in court as the attorney for the Illinois Conservative Union.
Oh, great.
And we are suing the Illinois Board of Elections for its failure to comply with the National Voter Registration Act.
Unbelievable.
And so, and it's very curious. And that's one of the reasons I got involved in this too, is because essentially all we're asking the Board of Elections to do is obey the law. You know, that's it. And the interesting thing is that the Illinois Attorney General represents the Board of Elections. And in the end, when you get through all the legal mumbo jumbo, all they're saying is we don't have to, you know, and you've got the Illinois Attorney General literally telling the people of the state of Illinois that their government doesn't have to obey the law. That's essentially what's happened in the courtroom. It's crazy.
Yeah, but this is what we need to do. We need attorney generals out there that then make their local. I mean, this is county by county. Also, we got city council people. We got, people in the school boards. All these people, a lot of them are committing crimes. Besides that, all this PPP money that went out. I'm finding when I've had shows with people, I'm finding out that this money went to nothing having to do with the schools or the kids. It went to nothing having to do with anything else. And like I've been telling a lot of people, this is a big problem where you are. A lot of this money and this infrastructure bill went to these track and trace surveillance, like strong smart city stuff, technology. And this is a globalist thing. It's coming from the World Economic Forum, the UN. This is their thing. I know Obama was really into it. But I think Chicago is one of those places. But I think all of Illinois, because of your governor, is really in bed with this kind of this backdoor situation where they kind of skip the electors, the people. And then there's an overriding, even with that track and trace or the ESG score and the digital currency, there is a very dangerous situation, I think, going on with local officials skipping that and going right to these tech companies and these contractors. Is that going on where in your state too?
Some of the problems are so enormous that it's almost difficult to comprehend. And it seems like you have to start taking small bites,
right?
I suggest that the very first bite is to make people feel safe and secure.
Yeah.
So that they feel safe and secure to be able to be involved in other things, to be able to go out and in their community, not worry about their kid getting a bullet while they're sitting on the steps or sleeping in their bed.
Yeah.
And those are that's the first order of business.
Yeah.
We get that some semblance of control. And I think we can do that with, I mentioned the attorney general litigating against us in the conservative union. There's probably about 40 or 50 assistants working in that office that are now litigating essentially against citizens trying to vindicate their constitutional or statutory rights. We're going to stop that.
Yeah.
You know, because we're elected by the people, right?
Right.
So we're going to work with them to vindicate their rights. And then we're going to have 40 or 50 assistants with nothing to do. And we're going to turn them loose on the criminals.
That's what we need. And not just the criminals that are shooting people, because there's I think they dismantled where you are too. I lived in LA for 16 years. Those gang units really cleaned up LA. They dismantled them. And they've kind of ignored the gang violence, which is huge. And they had it somewhat under control, I know, in LA, but I think there too. So there's so much on that level that can be brought back or reinstated. But at the same time, you know, I think people want to A, feel safe, but B, feel like somebody's actually fighting for them, because people are very demoralized on a mass scale. They really do need somebody like you that not just knows history and the Constitution and all of that, but gets that all the things are happening. But we can't just go after violent crime. We got to go after the people allowing the violent crime to happen that are in the bureaucracy or in the swamp. It seems like those people always get a pass. And then it's them that are making all the lobbying and all of that, that ends up really harming the people and making it so dangerous. So I hope that you'll do that.
That may very well be the path to those people, actually.
Good.
You know, it's kind of curious, Mel, but the fact is we start with the obvious low hanging fruit, if you will.
Right.
And when you take care of the obvious low hanging fruit, you wind up embarrassing the people that are in office into doing their job in the first place. And in the second place, if they fail to do something, now you have a standard by which to judge them.
Yeah.
And so they're part and parcel of the same project.
Great. You
know? And so we've actually got a plan to make crime illegal again by first not stepping on people's rights to begin with, and taking the people that are stepping on people's rights and putting them on criminals. And then we're gonna move along to keeping the election straight. We're gonna make sure that the Board of Elections follows its duties. And so now there's a big plan. And I just would mention that our election is June 28th. It's coming up just like the New York election is coming up June 28th. And I have good wishes. While I was working in Pennsylvania, I had the good fortune to have some interactions and did some work on some issues with Andrew Giuliani.
Yeah, I just saw him 2 weeks ago at an event. You know, I'm rooting for him. You know, we really do need that. And I like the idea of people that aren't already in the swamp. You know, I like new ideas, fresh ideas, people that have the energy and the sight and the vision to change the status quo, which you desperately need and we desperately need. And I think that that's a big key to this. And I'm really, really excited about you being the attorney general. I do feel like you have a lot of momentum, thank God, because that's the hard part. So many people are fighting so hard and they're coming the people you are running against really don't have the anything close to the background or ability or guts. And you know, you take no prisoners attitude. But, you know, I really do feel that way. How do you feel when you meet with constituents about their overall feelings about, you know, turning around the state and how they feel about the country?
You know, as far as the state goes, there's so many people for whom this is home, and their family history and their family ties are all here. I'm basically here because I lived in Florida for some time, and then my dad got ill, and ultimately dad passed, and mom's 93, and so we're back here helping look after mom. And,
wow.
And that's the kind of connections that people have. You know, they're friends and family, and so they don't want to go anyplace, you know, despite
right.
the fact that Illinois is being decimated by out migration, but they don't want to leave. And so they want to fight.
Yeah.
And so we're going to give them that. We're going to give them that ability.
Yeah.
I'm really, as far as momentum goes, I'm really happy about there's a Illinois Family Action, which is the premier right to life organization here in Illinois, has endorsed this. There's 25,000 some odd members, and they're every day talking to people, calling people on the phone on my behalf. Illinois Latino Pastors Association.
Oh, great. 100
churches. 100 yes. churches are passing out literature every Sunday. We've got some amazing things going on that we're yes. really excited about. I hope that your audience is national. I hope that whomever there has a friend in Illinois, call them and tell them that, you know, this can actually make a difference nationally.
Yeah,
you know,
well, I keep telling everyone, it doesn't matter what state you're in. We need the best people in every state, in every position that has power, attorney general, governor, you know, all the sheriffs. I don't care what state you're in. Support America first, constitutionalists who love God and country, law and order, and will take our country back and put us on the direction. Because I don't think that I do see that if we can get in enough people like you and they clean up state by state, we can turn this country around and be as productive, and all of the things that have been taken from us can be rebuilt properly. You get out the corruption, somebody like you can actually start putting people in positions to take back all the industry as well, all the red tape, all the ridiculous stuff they've done, because like New York State, A lot of people look at Illinois and think Chicago. Well, if you drive around Illinois, there's farmland all over the place. There's industry that has been decimated by bad policies and all of that. You know, it's a giant, beautiful state that has so much potential. But you got to start where you are. You got to put the laws that are on the books back in play, clean up the crime, and start then go after the corruption in every industry, because Illinois should be thriving from top to bottom.
And it should be, and I will be. I mentioned one other thing. There's people that talk about the, you know, everybody, all the newsmakers and all the news, they all cover the governor's race and the six or seven guys that are running for governor at the moment. But the fact is if the governor and the attorney general disagree about the law, the attorney general wins.
Oh, wow. That's important. Because some of these I dealt with Cuomo, and I'm telling you, I watched Pritzker and his whole family, and I don't even understand how that's happening. But
yeah, no, if in fact, because it's the attorney general, has the duty to, in fact, either defend or decline to defend whatever the governor does. And if the attorney general declines to defend what the governor does, the governor's through.
Right.
You know, yeah, he can't go forward with that. And the interesting thing about this is he also, because the attorney general is independently elected from him, he's stuck with the attorney general that the people give him. You know, he can't go out and get a second opinion.
Yeah.
He can't go out and hire a new guy.
That's really important for people to understand. It really is. Because, and again, I keep telling people, please do not vote down, you know, Republican or Democrat. You got to look into what everyone's done, their history, their past, who's financing them, all of that. But it's really important that people understand that the AG, because it doesn't happen enough, everywhere that has a corrupt governor has a corrupt AG. And it's just ridiculous. You have to pick each person individually, that they will keep checks and balances on the next guy. Because the sheriff's the same thing. They have a lot more power than they're using right now, too. So you need sheriffs and AGs who are going to use the power that they have, which obviously you will and are going to, in my opinion. But so any last words for the people, and then we'll send them where they have to go to support you. And we'll get this out everywhere, because we need you to lead by example of what an AG in America should look like.
Yeah, the last words again. I've got 400 felony prosecutions, 10,000 misdemeanors. My opponents have none. I've defended religious liberty in court. My opponents have never done that. I've been involved with elections in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, Illinois, Florida. My opponents have actually, just yesterday, both of them were on TV, and both of them said Joe Biden won unequivocally. And, you know, so this is crazy. It's a real choice, because when I was talking about that, the AG should, in fact, be a check on the governor.
Yep.
Right now, one of them is funded by the same outside billionaire that is as a governor candidate. They're like a slate. And there's another fellow who is campaigning hand in glove with another governor candidate. So governors and AGs should not be political allies. They don't have to be enemies.
This is why this show right now is so important. People have to understand this. You don't want that. You don't want that. And again, another thing that you're going to have to do at some point, you have a lot of things on your plate, is to get this out-of-state money from billionaires and NGOs and lobbyists out of our states, out of our local. You know, we can't do that yet. Like I said, you have to take what you learn, and you learned a lot from 2020, and put it in action when you're in office to make sure that a lot of this stuff is stopped. But that's another thing you're talking about. Look at who's financing people. It matters. But you can't just vote this time. You got to vote for people that will put you and this country and America first, because we are not dealing with a normal situation here. We are dealing with the survival of the greatest country on the planet. And I believe God is winning here, and you will win. But, you know, everyone's got to watch out and realize this is not just another election.
You have a tremendous national audience, Mel. If each and every one of them called one friend in Illinois and asked them to vote for me, I will win this. I will win the election.
Well, I'm going to do everything I can to help you win, because not only did I meet you in person, and I know that you don't even want it. It's so crazy, because there are people out there that don't really want to be politicians, that you are kind of like, I don't want to do this. But you know that you can get the job done. It's not about your ego or anything like that. You saw enough to say if not me, who? And that is the truth about you. And I'm a really big fan. I'm going to get it out everywhere. And I really believe in my heart, you're going to win. And what we need is an attorney general like you in that state to step up, and other attorney generals will follow the lead. We got Paxton in Texas. Yes. And I don't see anyone else really.
Jason Mieres.
Oh, okay. Mieres, right. Right.
In Virginia. My hero, Jason Mieres, right now.
Right. Well, he just got in, thank God. Yes. But I believe.
But already indicted a county board member on 82 counts of election.
I know he's making big moves. No, Virginia's a good one, Texas, but I think Illinois, and you're going to get in there, and we're going to start to dismantle the swamp that's in Illinois and start to have people have productive, healthy, safe lives again. So where can people find you? Dave4AG.com.
Yes, Dave, the number 4AG.com. You can both visit there and find out more about me. But on in a good day, if you can do it, $27 lets us talk to 9,000 voters with our digital campaign.
Okay, well, please give as much money as you can in these last weeks that you have out there, especially if you're in Illinois. But it doesn't matter. Everywhere we need good AGs in every state to take back this country. And also, I will be putting a link to your books below, your book about the Declaration of Independence. And all of your and your constitutional, and then all of your links will be below. Please support him. And if you have any friends in Illinois, please make sure that they vote and that they vote for Shostakis, because the more good AGs we have in this country, the more and quicker law and order will return and our lives will start turning around for the better. Thank you so much, sir, for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mel, for having me.
It's my pleasure.
It's a pleasure to be with you and your audience.
Yeah, I know the armor of God is with you, and I have a lot of faith that you'll get in there, and we'll do everything we can to get it out there. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Attorney General candidate David Shostakis, asking for your vote in the Republican primary June 28th and your support to make crime illegal again. The Attorney General's first duty is to represent the people, and I will with your vote. I bring the following experience and values to the office. As an assistant state's attorney, more than 400 felony and 10,000 misdemeanor prosecutions. My opponents have none. Election integrity defense in Illinois, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, and Florida. My opponents scoff at election integrity. Religious liberty defense for churches declared non-essential. My opponents have no such record. I'm the only fully pro-life attorney general candidate. I have the only plan to void the unconstitutional FOID card. I have the only plan to prosecute cases ignored by Kim Fox and others to make crime illegal again. You can give the Attorney General's office back to the people by voting for me, David Shostakis.
Paid for by Committee to Elect David Shostakis.
Hey, Patriot pals, Mel Kay here. The controlled demolition of the economy by the private Western Central Bank and the Biden regime-backed World Economic Forum Great Reset can no longer be denied or ignored. Consumer prices are skyrocketing. The Fed is raising rates. Inflation jumped 7% this year alone. That's a 40-year high. Now is the time to go full steam ahead to protect your hard-earned savings, 401ks, and IRAs by diversifying your assets by investing in gold and silver. Please visit our friend Andrew and his team at Beverly Hills Precious Metals at melkgold.com. That's melkgold.com. And he'll help you put together a personalized financial plan to maintain your security and sovereignty no matter what comes ahead. Protect yourself and your assets for the future. Please do not be left behind. Now is the time. Hello, Patriot Pals. I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about our amazing partner, Mel Kay Superfoods. It is an American company, made in America, grown in America, packaged in America. And that makes me really happy because I always talk about defund the cabal, refund the kingdom. What better way to do that than to start getting your superfoods from MelKaySuperfoods.com. And when you go there, you know that you're getting the best quality, no fillers, totally organic. You're never going to be without healthy fruits and vegetables right at a moment's notice. We don't know what's going to happen with the supply chain. We don't know what's happening with food prices, with what's going on in the market. So I always know if I can't find what I'm looking for, I always have my daily amount of fruits and vegetables that will keep me healthy and thriving right in my cupboard. Go to MelKSuperfoods.com and join me in supercharging our wellness journey and living our best, healthiest lives ahead.
Hey, Patriot Pals, Rob Reilly here. One of the most important things Mel and I do in this war between good and evil is traveling the country, meeting fellow patriots like yourselves. We share stories, resources, gain new tools, make new friends, and get activated to take back our freedom for God and country. Go to the MelKShow.com events and come join us. You will have an amazing experience and be reinvigorated to stand for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As always, God wins. See you there.